Usually it won't let you see.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
That's all right.
Yeah, this is for me.
Oh, okay.
You can use the, so I guess once you start advancing, it'll go away. But once you try to look and touch the trackpad, you know, it may not. Anyway.
Okay.
As far as I can, you can walk over and point.
Yeah,
all
right.
All right, I guess it's getting 1:30. I guess we're going to go ahead and get started if everybody's ready. I'd like to welcome everybody to the student competition for the Condensates Research Control. And our first speaker will be Cody Gale. His presentation entitled Plant Volatile Organic Compounds Associated with Fungal Endophyte Seed Treatment of Cotton.
Is this on?
Yeah.
All right. Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming. So fungal endophytes, what are they? They are everywhere. And every plant that you have ever seen has fungal endophytes in it, but you would never know because they don't produce any symptoms. They're not like a pathogen that makes the plant look unhealthy. They simply live inside the plant. And I say they simply live inside the plant, but really they have a set of complex interactions with these plants. You may know mycorrhizal fungi, but not worried about those. We're really focusing just on the protective agent class of fungal endophytes, specifically ones that are going to help protect plants against insects. Sucking pests are the pests that we are focusing on here, stink bugs and ligus bugs. They are not affected by the available BT toxins that we have out there right now, so they're kind of a major pest, and we may be able to deter them from feeding by treating our plants with fungal endophytes. And so we did a small experiment with that where we treated seeds with fungal biomass and grew them up and then took the squares and fed them to the ligus bugs. And you can see from the graph on the left that the latency to first contact, so how hesitant they were to begin feeding on these squares from endophyte plants, was significantly greater in the endophyte-treated plants. It took them about twice as long to begin feeding. And there, on the right, you can see that about three times as many insects made no contact at all with those squares from the endophyte plants compared to the controls. So with small bowls taken from these endophyte plants fed to stink bugs, we had a similar trend where they were very hesitant to begin feeding on the bowls, and many of them didn't make any contact at all. So what does this tell us about the endophyte influencing insect behavior towards cotton? Well, the hesitancy suggests that there could be deterrent volatiles at play. Volatiles are what give a plant its scent. You probably have smelled a flower, and those scent, that beautiful smell from the flower, is used to attract pollinators. But when it comes to the foliar tissues, we have two different sets of volatile profiles that are coming off. We have constitutive and induced profiles. The constitutive profile is the bouquet of volatiles that are coming off of a plant, off of a healthy plant, that an herbivore uses to detect a host plant and make a selection to feed or lay its eggs. The induced profile is the bouquet of volatiles that come off of the plant when it's being fed upon by an herbivore. And predators of the herbivore will actually use that new bouquet of profiles to locate their prey, and these same volatiles, these induced profiles, are very important for signaling other plants and helping them prime to be ready for herbivory. So the figures, or the images on the right here, the monoterpenes and the cestoterpenes, those are going to be present in both the constitutive and the induced profile. But what happens is with the induced profile, a new group of volatiles called the green leaf volatiles are emitted, and those are exclusive to the induced profile, and that's just a few examples of them. So, can we manipulate cotton volatiles by treating them with endophytes? Can we make the constitutive profiles more unattractive? Can we make the induced profiles more effective at repelling the insect once it's begun feeding or attracting predators of these pests? we know from that first set of experiments that the herbivores are very hesitant to feed on these endophyte plants. So how can we capture the volatiles that may be at play here? And I'm using solid phase microextraction. I'll be calling it SPEMI from here on out. I've tried dynamic headspace sampling, which is very popular, but compared to the SPEMI with cotton, which is a relatively low emission plant, the solid phase microextraction is very successful. So to follow up on the experiment with the Lycus bugs, which were fed excised squares, young excised squares, I collected squares from field-grown cotton for control plants and two endophytes of interest. So what I did is I put two squares per plant across 10 plants. And the SPEMI fibers that I talked about, the solid phase microextraction, are these syringe kind of pen looking things that are on top of the jars. And you may be able to see in the second jar, there's this little needle that comes through the septum down into the jar. It's a little hollow needle. And there's a fiber contained in that needle. And I expose the fiber inside the collection chamber and then inject that fiber directly into the GCMS. And that's how I get the volatiles from the jar into the GCMS without having to use any solvents or anything like that. So with this study here, to follow up on the Lycus bugs, what I did with these samples was just qualitative. I just wanted to know, are these endophyte squares producing compounds that the control squares are not producing, that are making the insects behave the way that they were behaving? So I put together this qualitative table. Don't try to read it all. The take-home message is that everything that was present in the endophyte squares was also present in the controls. So what this says, what I can infer from this, is that the differences that the insects are perceiving are likely to be quantitative differences and not qualitative. So one of the other things that I noticed when I was looking at this data set was that there were some green leaf volatiles present in these profiles. So excising the squares is, you know, damaging the tissues, and they're releasing some of these volatiles that are only supposed to be associated with the plant being damaged. So to tease apart the interaction of the insects with the constitutive or the induced profile, I needed to come up with a different method than just excising the tissues and putting them in a jar and sampling them like that. So what I did is I constructed these fancy volatile collection chambers, which are mason jars, and I cut a slot into the lid, as you can see on the left side here, so that I can trap an individual leaf, or it could be a square or a bowl, individually inside of one of these collection chambers. And then through the septum, same thing, insert the SPEMI fiber, which you see there, the little white fiber coming out of the needle. And so this has allowed me to study the constitutive and the induced profiles of cotton tissues while the tissues are still intact, living on the plant. So this second experiment that I set up, I had six plants going at one time. So I had two controls and two plants for two different endophyte treatments. And for each treatment, one plant, I had a leaf in the jar with an herbivore, so I could study the induced profile, and I had a leaf in the jar with the other plant that didn't have an herbivore. So you see the two plants, worm, no worm, going on down the line. And so this way, at the same time of day, I can collect samples for the constitutive and the induced profiles for three different treatments at once. So what I found, this is the same sort of thing, a qualitative table of all the compounds that I was seeing in this experiment. And you can see that there are some very obvious differences between the constitutive profiles and the induced profiles, which are due to the herbivore feeding in there. So I can tell some serious, I can see the differences between the constitutive and induced profiles, but you'll also notice that there are differences between the control and the endophyte treated plant. Now, I can't say that those are due to the endophyte. This is each one of these tables is just an example from two of those plants. So from one round of collection. So having this is from one constitutive plant and one induced profile. I have to do this many times over and see how consistently these differences are present before I can really say that these differences between the control and the endophyte plants are due to the endophyte. I had some technical difficulties that didn't really allow me to get a bunch of replication done before coming to you guys here today, but I'm still working on it. And one of the other things that I'm doing like I said, this is just qualitative, but because we did that first experiment that showed that it's likely to be quantitative differences, the purpose of setting up this experiment was to start getting quantitative data on the differences in endophyte and control cotton plants. So I don't have the relative abundances of these volatiles in each profile analyzed fully yet, but I am working on replicating this further. And what I've been doing is I've been using ImageDay with a stationary camera and a stationary photography platform to photograph the leaf before and after I put the worm on there. And this way, when I inject my samples, I can get quantitative data to go along with this qualitative table. So I can tell you the relative abundance of all of these and how that correlates with the amount of damage that was done to the plant by the herbivore. Because it could be that we're seeing more, you know, qualitatively, more compounds in our endophyte plants or maybe in our control plants, simply because in those trials, the insects were causing much more damage. And if there's going to be a lot more damage done to the leaf, we might see new volatiles coming out as more damage is done. So, using ImageDay and using ImageDay and being able to quantify the herbivory damage, I can correlate that with the quantitative relative abundances of these volatiles, which is really going to tell us if these endophytes are responsible for some major changes in the volatile profile. What I used here was a Helicoverpa zea larvae. It's a fifth instar zea larvae, and it's a fourth or fifth true leaf. And I want to repeat these experiments in the spring with lab-grown plants, but using a foliage feeder like the beet army worm, and on smaller plants that are at like the first or second true leaf, I'm thinking that'll give some more interesting data. One of the other things I'm looking forward to in this next year is that I have constructed these scaffolds so that I can go out into the field and enclose in an individual bowl and do a similar test where I put a stink bug into a young bull out in the field, and I can do these qualitative and quantitative studies to see how the sucking pests are influenced by how the sucking pests influence the profiles of constitutive versus induced in our control and our endophyte plants. And that's going to be some really exciting data that I have next year, along with the rest of the quantitative stuff too. So I just want to say thank you for coming. I hope you enjoyed it. I have to say thanks to Cesar Valencia, who is not here today, but Ashley Tesno and Jason Wolf for great help. They're both here today, and you should go see their talks too. I wouldn't be able to do the GCMS without Charles and Jose at the USDA. So big thanks to them too. And I'd like to take any questions if you have any.
We have 2 minutes for questions. You know?
Yes, sir. What do you mean a cascading effect?
So that when you get damage in a bowl, it has a cascading effect throughout the entire plant process of treatment in other places. That's like some other type of sensitive spot.
Yes, I know what you're saying. So I stuck with the SPEMI, with the solid phase microextraction, because to do what you were talking, the dynamic headspace sampling, pulling air through the headspace over the plant and into a column, it needs to take place over an extended period of time. The cotton is a very low emission plant. It's not smelly like a tomato plant when you touch it and it releases all these volatiles. So I could do that, but it would be most possible in the lab over a long period of time, like 24, 48 hours. And we'd like to see, I'd like to eventually down the road try to understand if the endophytes might be involved in a priming effect and in the helping the insects or helping the plants to respond to herbivory more quickly than a control plant. So I need to be able to look at the volatiles in a small window of time in response instead of a large one like that.
Any more questions?
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.